Does God think that money is a good thing or bad? Pastor Jeske will give you the answer next.
Raise your hand if you're married. Okay. Raise your hand if you're single. Quite an interesting balance. Pretty close numbers. Which is better? Ironically, that same curious sort of tension exists in the Bible. If you go to some very blunt words about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, St. Paul, a single guy, basically seems to contradict himself. Early in the chapter, he says, you should all be married. And then he says, but I wish you could all be like me. I love being single. But because of all the adultery, everyone should have his own wife and every woman should have her own husband. So, should you be single or married as Christian? And the answer is yes. This is just one of many examples in Scripture of what I call the paradoxes of the Word, where you seem to have conflicting descriptions of how to live the Christian life. And the point is to be in the middle of it, enjoying this tension and respecting both ends. No less a person than God himself describes himself with a contradiction like that, explaining himself to Moses on one occasion in Exodus 34. God said, I am a God of mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet I will not allow the guilty to go unpunished. And you think about that and you say, wait a minute, what? Make up your mind, God. Do you punish sin or forgive sin? And the answer is yes. Does that drive you crazy? I hope it doesn't too much, but if it sets off a little buzzing in your head, that's okay because it's supposed to. You're supposed to be like hung in tension between two true extremes that seem contradictory, but in fact, they're both true. God, in fact, violently will punish every sin. God, in fact, in mercy, has mercy on the entire human race. The only place those two competing principles come together is in the cross of Christ, where God simultaneously punished the sin of the world and forgave the sin of the world with the same hammer blows into the nails that crucified Christ. But the Scripture's full of those paradoxes. I'd like to talk to you today about one of the paradoxes of money and the way in which we live, especially in our work world, as workers or as bosses. And at some point in your life, you probably have been, are now, or will be both of those. You'll be both a worker bee and a boss in one way or another. So there are loops of accountability all over the business world. And this is not alien and strange to our faith. This is not like we have our faith life, and then there's the jungle where you simply, where it's dog eat dog, and you do what you need to do to survive, and then you get away from that and go back into your Christian world. No, our Christian world is portable. We are the church. It goes with us. And I'd like you to think through with me some of the ways in which money interacts with our working world. When you think about money in the Bible, there are some intense passages in the New Testament that stick in our minds that kind of make money seem like a kind of a dirty thing. Not true. That just is not true. The Bible, simultaneously with its warnings against greed and materialism and mammon, simultaneously says that accumulating wealth is a sign of God's favor. That if you honor God and worship Him, you will prosper financially. So, is money a happy thing or a dirty thing? And the answer is yes, it's both. Now, I hope that contradiction does not drive you crazy because they're both true. The point is, both ends need to be respected, and we need to chart our way through the middle of this paradox. Being poor is something for which God has enormous compassion. And the Scripture's full of references to having compassion on people who struggle and helping the people who are downtrodden, who've suffered disasters, or who are in a deep hole. But that doesn't make that something to aspire to. Because God has compassion on people who struggle in poverty does not mean divest yourself of anything, declare bankruptcy, because then you would simply become a needy person that would have to be supported by someone else. No, the point is for you to be sane in the way in which you accumulate resources so that God will bless you so you can become a blessing to other people. You got to keep both of these things in balance. And the book of the Bible that needs to be balanced with Jesus' warnings against materialism, I think, is the most clear of them all, is the book of Proverbs. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bible or haul out your tablet or smart device and look up Proverbs chapter 22. A given chapter of Proverbs might speak on 30 different things. And so it's hard to do a sustained Bible study, but chapter 22 has got quite a collection of pointed and helpful insights about acquiring a healthy attitude toward money, to being good, to being healthy with money, so it becomes something other than your boss or master, or becomes your idol, becomes mammon to you. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. If you have humility and a good name, everything you truly need will come to you. If you have a bad name, if you are scorned and despised, your money, which you may have a lot of, will not make you happy. And in the way in which you do your work, as a worker bee, you need to care for your reputation as well. That you not let it be known that you're only in it for the paycheck. That in the employee's break room, you are not constantly bad-mouthing your boss or making fun of the business. But that you are careful about your reputation, especially in your workplace. If you're a boss, you are careful about your reputation, for your ability to lead should not just be a matter of fear that anybody who crosses me is going to get fired, but that your leadership as a boss will inspire people to want to follow you, will inspire people to want to build up the company, not just to do the minimum out of fear of you, and then the minute your watchful eye is not over them, they will run off and do other things, but that you are inspirational enough that you build a reputation that people trust what you say. They believe you when you say things. They know you will keep your promises. Your word means something. And this is how we can live our Christian faith as bosses and as worker bees. The second verse is an important one as well. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Remember that if you're a boss, you're essentially no better than the people who work for you. All of us are God's creatures. God's hands fashioned you and fashioned them in the same way. You are not intrinsically any better than anybody who happens to be working for you. Remember that with some respect. You are creatures of God. Remember, too, that our Lord Jesus has cheerfully offered his life not only for your sins, but for the sins of the people who work for you as well. They're equally loved by the Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit has placed gifts in them as well as in you. The goal of a leader should be to release the talent, passion, and gifts in the people whom you are leading, not to try to control them or manipulate them, to manage people, not manipulate people, not only to try to drive up your company's profits and widen your margins, but also to create a working environment where people can flourish and to release people's passion to that they then voluntarily will put their even greater energy behind what your company is working on. Remember that the Lord, especially bosses, remember that the Lord gives authority to human beings, sinful, weak, frail, flawed human beings. He entrusts them with authority as he does to governments. But then that means he has higher expectations. He's watching what you do with your power. And remember, to whom much has been given, from them much will be expected. Remember, bosses, not only do you want your employees to be honest, not just when you're watching them or reviewing their work every day, you want them to be honest when you're not looking. But remember that God is watching how you treat the people entrusted to you. Number three, verse three, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. This is good advice in all levels, including the way we manage money. The need to plan, the need to look ahead, the need to do more than just go day by day. Think ahead, look ahead, plan for risk. One of the great benefits of having a personal financial advisor, for instance, is that they help you be aware of the risks that can come upon you and how to figure out solutions to these risks. Joining a pool of other people so that if a blow falls, it doesn't land completely on you and wipe you out. There are ways to be smart about how you manage your stuff, looking ahead, thinking ahead as a worker, not just trying to get through the day, but how am I treating people? Working really hard as a worker bee, how can I make the customers of our company feel important? Making your customers and clients feel more important than yourself, that you are now, when you spend time with your customers and clients, you basically convince them you're working for them as though they are now your bosses and you are serving them. That is all bundled up into this idea of looking ahead, taking care of people, even if the person you're serving, let's say, is unhappy with a product and comes back and you're working with them on that, you may end up not making any money on this sale because you end up having to replace something that wasn't right or redo something for free. But having the long view, a far away view, rather than just a right this minute view, you will take care of that customer and make it right this time because then the people will come back and hire you again or buy your goods and services again. I heard a saying once long ago in my business days, back in my working days, that has stuck with me my whole life, and I share it with you now. I got it for free. I'm going to give it to you for free as well. And some wise business owner said once, I would rather have one customer 100 times than 100 customers once. Isn't that pretty smart? Taking care of people. If you have one customer coming back to you 100 times, that's only at the beginning. That person will be so satisfied, he or she will spread the word for you and be one of your sales agents. If you shop at a place 100 times, I guarantee you are telling your friends and relatives. Onward to number four. This is one of the big ones. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. You know, Jesus said, whoever holds on to his life will lose it. And now this says, no, we want life. So should we live as though we're going to die tomorrow or live as though we might live to be 100? The answer is yes. Can you do both of those without going crazy? That's the paradox. That's one of these paradoxes. It's okay to plan on a long life. And what am I going to be doing? To look ahead. You don't have to live recklessly as though I'm going to die tomorrow anyway. Honor. We're supposed to be humble, right? Absolutely. But here the writer of this particular proverb, Solomon or one of the other wise men of the age, says it's okay to long for honor, to be lifted up and recognized. You don't have to go chasing after it and sell yourself out for honor, but it will come. When you show a humble spirit and fear the Lord, you will be honored. People will clap and cheer, partly because it's so rare. In a dog-eat-dog world, when there's a dog helping a dog, people stop and notice, holy cow, that's pretty cool. You will stand out, especially when you spend of yourself, sacrifice something of yourself to help another person. You will be noticed, you will be seen, and honor sooner or later. Later, guaranteed, sometimes sooner. honor will come to you. And the first promise will bring wealth seems to contradict Jesus' warnings about the dangers of money. Money is not evil. What is the root of all kinds of evil? It's not money. Money is just a tool. It is the love of money. Just be careful of its addictive power. There are many things in our lives that are potentially addictive. Food is potentially addictive. Human sexuality, potentially addictive. Alcohol as a beverage or various kinds of chemicals and drugs are all potentially addictive. They also, all of them, have a wonderful place when used properly and used rightly. Same with money. It has the power to corrupt, but it also has the power to help and to heal, has the power to build. Our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents in our spiritual family here in this congregation saved and gave money long ago out of their surplus. They weren't just going day to day, but they had enough to give for you and me to be worshiping our God in a beautiful facility today. Money made it happen. Money in and of itself is not evil. It is only evil when it becomes addictive or corrupts people to disobey God and abuse one another. But having given you that warning, let me now give you today God's blessing to be about the business of accumulating it without guilt. If you have a net worth that has begun to become serious, I want today to help relieve you of that guilt. It's not like a dirty subject you don't want to talk about. If God gave you the ability to spend less than you earn and to save and invest wisely, God bless you, my friends, and be generous with it. More on that later. But the accumulation of wealth is not something any Christian should be ashamed of. In fact, what is promised here in Scripture is that it is a reward. There are many reasons for that, but here are two that the Proverbs writer lays out for you. Humility. And this is another one of the paradoxes. Humility means you like to act like a servant. But isn't that at the basis of any business that's a good business? That you have a humble spirit? How does this work? Say you're a boss. How does this work? Or if you're one of the managers in a business, how does humility, you think you should be proud and walk around and kind of exude power, wear your power suit or your power dress, and you walk around and you get people to be kind of intimidated by you. Actually not. Humility in business means you listen really well. This is a Christian thing, to pay attention to people's wants and needs around you. This is just good business, to be humble and listen to what people need. And a humble attitude in taking care of people ultimately makes you better. Humility and the fear of the Lord. Fear doesn't mean you're scared of getting punished by God, although there always needs to be that respect that God's commandments are real and He holds us accountable for obedience. Just because Christ has suffered and died and risen again to give you forgiveness of your many sins does not mean you can live like a pig. Here's another of the paradoxes of the Bible. Forgiven of everything bad we've ever done, God has completed everything and accomplished the law in our place. He still commands us to personal holiness. Does that sound like a contradiction? It probably does. In other words, it's all done by Christ, and yet my day-to-day life is up to me. Does that sound like a paradox? It is. But God still invites and expects you to pay attention to His words, instructions, and commandments, and to put them into practice in your life. Jesus says, anybody who listens to my words and pays no attention to me, it's like building a house on sand. It's all going to fall down. Don't do it, he says. Humility and the fear of the Lord will bring you wealth. Receive it with gratitude, praise God for it, and then use it well. I'd like to finish with the last verse of this chapter. And here's a message especially to those of you who are bosses, who manage other people in any way, even part-timers, even people you hire. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, and he who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. Those two concepts here God is criticizing. Oppressing the poor, it is always, has happened throughout human history, that those with power and means and resources find ways to squeeze those people who are weaker in society or poorer. It's always been that way. It is now. It always will be, as long as sinners have a chance to take advantage of other people who are less powerful than they. There are 1,000 ways for employers to cheat and gouge their employees. Do not take advantage of your employees. Pay them a fair wage. Keep your promises. Honor your contracts. Don't take advantage of them with loopholes because you've got a corporate attorney working for you and they don't have personal lawyers. Don't play games with bylaws and fine print and all kinds of ways to chisel and squeeze them. Help your employees to prosper. If they do well, you will do well as well. Take care of them. And the second warning is whoever gives gifts to the rich will come to poverty. What on earth does that mean? I got all kinds of friends who make a lot more money than me. I like giving them stuff. If I'm going to be over at their house or see them someplace and it's their birthday or we're a house guest, you bring a, you know, when you go to somebody's house, you bring a gift, right? So am I sinning to take a gift, a house gift, a hostess gift over to somebody who's having us over for dinner if they have more than me? No, that isn't what's being referred to. I think this is a shorthand way of referring to bribery. Why would people give gifts to people in the network above them to try to get them to do something for you? It's a payoff. It's a scam. It's a form of bribery to go through back channels to get something that you want. And bribery may seem in the short run to get you what you want, but in the long run, it's not good. Let's sum this up. As a worker bee, what are 5 ways in which you can live your Christian life and honor God where you work? Number 1, do your best work, even for a boss you don't like. Anybody can have fun at work if you got an awesome boss, but what if you have a boss who's a jerk? Here's where your Christian faith really can shine. Serve even the people whom you don't like and do good work. 2, do good work even when you're not being watched. When nobody's watching, do good work. 3, respect your company's stuff as if it were your own. Think how you hate it if your garage gets broken into and tools of yours get stolen. Doesn't that grind your teeth when that happens? Then why would you do that to your company, even though you might think, oh, my company's got millions of dollars? Treat their stuff as your own and guard it, take care of it, maintain it, secure it. Take care of your boss's reputation. If you're undermining the leadership in your division, all that's going to do is diminish the working effectiveness of your group. Build up, don't tear down the structure around you. But even if you don't like it or agree with it, be a good soldier and do what you need to do, assuming that there's nobody's asking you to sin. And the 5th thing is to make sure that the people you are serving through your business feel like you are a humble servant working for them instead of you are manipulating them just to squeeze some money out of them. As an employer, as a boss, how can you, now let's sum this up, how can you live your Christian faith in the workplace? Pay people a fair wage. You don't have to overpay the market, but neither should you take advantage of people and squeeze them because you can, because perhaps of their personal desperation. 2, as you are using your power to hire and fire, have as your first priority when somebody is not performing, before you just fire them, have some sort of remediation plan and give them a shot. Sometimes people have a rough stretch in their life and they just need to reload and have a second chance. One of your goals is not just to maximize profits for your company, but to help people along the way. And sometimes people can benefit from a second chance and will respond and will become one of your best employees. You can also, in the way in which you treat them, not just move them around like chess pieces, but recalling that you are dust, they are dust, you're made by the same Father. Show common human respect to people whose work you must evaluate. And last of all, remember that not only is God watching what your employees do when your eyes aren't on them, remember that when you are operating with nobody's eyes on you, remember that when you are making decisions that affect the lives of the employees you have, remember that God's eyes are on you and that He is entrusting you with this authority only to bring about greater good. So whether you're a boss or a worker bee, honor your Creator Father, your Savior Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, giver of gifts, in the way in which you live your life each week.
It is so difficult to be an employee because the bosses out there seem to not know exactly what you need. It is also so difficult to be the boss because employees just seem to not know what you need. And there's the friction because both sides look at the same thing completely differently and there's a rub that's there. So what a great message by Pastor Jeske to give us the idea to look in the other perspective, to see how the other side is looking. If you're struggling in your work, trust God. Pray to Him, ask for peace in your heart, to always look on the other side and also to pray for them. I'll be back to pray with you in just a moment.
Did you realize that your money really isn't yours? It's God's money, which is why it's so important for us to be responsible with the money God has entrusted to us. Learn how to do this with Pastor Mark Jeske's book, Money Talk. Proven principles from God's Word to help you operate in His financial wisdom. Break free from the lie that money makes the world go round and discover what happens when you view and use money God's way. You'll receive a copy of Money Talk as thanks for your donation today to help reach more people with the timeless truths of God's Word. Call the number on your screen or visit our website to learn more.
Can I pray with you to pray about your work life for God's peace for you? Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the ability to work. It is a joy, but it is a big stress too. Help us as bosses, help us to have, as employees, help us in the workplace and out of the workplace. For all those who are struggling to find work right now, Lord God, give them peace, give them strength as they wait for employment to come. For those in a job that they don't want to be in, Lord, give them a different kind of strength and a different kind of peace. Help them be joyful in the blessing you've given, but may there be a new one. Possibly it's coming soon. Lord, bring balance and bring thanksgiving to you for all the gifts that you give through our work. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. For Time of Grace, I'm Pastor John Enter. It all starts now.
It all starts now. It all starts now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.